Hey folks, my name is Jason Spies and I travel across these great states talking to small business owners, CEOs, policymakers, musicians, and mentors about making money, giving back, and balancing life. I find out how they prioritize professional and personal time while still making money. Yes, indeed, our guests are real heavyweights in understanding business and life. So get ready to relax, learn a little bit, and get a cup of coffee ready because my name is Jason Spies and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Welcome to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Content Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for pouring a cup of coffee, pulling up a stool, and joining the conversation. We got a fantastic program in store for you today. Coffee and Capitalism brings you exclusive interviews and distinct content from leaders who drive our economy. From CEOs to small business owners to mentors, Coffee and Capitalism is a leader in innovation, ideas, and inspiration. Coffee and Capitalism is about making money and giving back, learning the fine art of balance in work and family life, and prioritizing your time. On today's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we talk with Blue Weber, co-founder of ArtNest ND, about how artists contribute to local economies and the internet. Social media have allowed them to compete globally. Plus Wayne Christian, Texas Railroad Commissioner, he's a little bit concerned about how millennials are accepting the politically correct, driven, environmental, anti-oil and gas science. And he compares energy subsidies. He gets into all of that about how that issue is a big, big threat right now to the oil and gas industry. Then Greg Hennessy, co-founder and chairman of the board for North Star Caviar, Paddlefish eggs and caviar. That's an industry. So we're going to go up to Williston, North Dakota and talk to Greg Hennessy about the paddlefish egg industry. And then we check in with multimedia kidpreneur Otis, and he talks to Tyler, the organizer with Dacno Gaming, a big esports tournament. And Otis was there and he's interviewing the organizer. All right, all that plus much more, a little net neutrality later on in the program as well. Pour yourself a cup of coffee, pull up a stool. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Content Network. In the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch Coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch Coaching.
I got to watch him give a talk at TEDx Brookings, and I saw him come into his own where he shared uncomfortable things from his past in a way that created a teaching environment. And Eric's somebody that could easily lead with all he's accomplished, and it's a long list.
To find out more information about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch come to your company or event, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Content Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Blue Weber, co-founder of ArtNest ND.
My name is Blue Weber. I'm one of the co-founders of ArtNest ND, which is an art organization here in downtown that advocates for local artists and tries to get them in paired with other businesses. And then we feature them in galleries around town, as well as working towards a location to let those artists create their own art downtown in a studio.
Big fan of the arts we are here. In fact, our bumper music is singer-songwriters that we have in our programs. And we do that to try to help promote the musicians the best way we can. I mean, what better way than over an audio format for musicians? How has the art community been over the last, say, just say decade? And we'll start with hundreds and hundreds of years ago when the economy was actually based on art, the Renaissance era.
Yeah.
There was a time when we actually cherished art so much it's what drove our economy. Now it's getting left out of education with STEM education. Some are STEAM, but do you see what I mean? To where,
I know exactly
yeah.
What you
so
mean.
Talk to me about the world of art, either from the educational or from the business standpoint.
Kind of to put it into a weird way, I love Grand Forks because it has so much opportunity. And when I say opportunity, I don't even think of it as like the business folks and the people who live in this area and young professionals, but also the artists have an opportunity here to have some say in how it's growing. And I think, at least I feel like with my generation, we're starting to put a lot more value in art. We're starting to step away from the Walmarts and the Targets and the big box stores and really get back into our like main streets and our Main Street initiative. And I think that with this art revitalization, especially here in this community, it's going to bring that out of a lot of people. It's making those artists actually be wanting to be wanted more in the community, and the community is supporting them a lot more. So I think it's finally getting to see some involvement. The 701's been great at letting us basically set up the gallery in here. We have about five other galleries and downtown businesses that we set up bi-monthly, and then we also hold events. So next weekend is going to be our art opening for this event. So we'll have three artists in here with all the businesses that they pair with. Like you said, music always goes well with art, so we'll have some musicians in here, and then we have a local brewery that'll be serving some beers. I love that I get to live in a community where not only are these artists celebrated, but we also get to go out and meet them that easily. They're not out of reach. We have people, Dave Badman owns an art gallery across the street, and Dave is a very prolific big metal worker, works a lot with brass, and he does a really good job working with the younger artists, the newer up-and-coming artists, to kind of get them involved in public art as well.
So I'm happy to see that you guys have a physical location, which is a very difficult thing for a lot of artists to get into. And, you know, like Chinese Lanterns, Barbara Benda Nagel, $325, and then her website is there. That has been more and more common over the last decade again. I started seeing them in very select places 10 years ago. And, of course, as a lot of, I would even say some chain coffee shops, let alone the local ones, started doing that too, where it's a great way for them either to save money by putting art on the wall.
Makes it look a lot better.
It makes it one in there. But it's a win-win because the artist gets exposure. And then what I wanted to ask you is, are they actually selling this art, or is it more for the exposure? Or, I mean, you know what I mean? Do some people sell it, or is it just more for the exposure?
I think it also depends on which artist we're talking about. Yeah. We have some artists who, I know a couple artists who overvalue their work because their goal isn't to sell it. Their goal is to create it and have it there as a visual aspect. And so if they sell it, not only is that a bonus for them, but then it's like, holy crap, this meant a lot more to somebody else. While we have some artists who are really good at being able to pump out a million pieces, and I always consider them event artists. So my background before ArtNest was actually running an event here in town called Alley Alive, and we held it in the alleyway. We would have about 20 to 25 artists who would come out and sell their art. We'd have music in different pockets of the alleyway, and then we'd have food trucks. And my favorite thing, and the reason why we started ArtNest, is because of the success of Alley Alive, and that we got to see this awesome activation of art in our alleyway systems. We did a giant event where we brought out these artists. Some of the artists who don't paint to sell, but paint really to showcase their work, would come out and paint these dumpsters for us. So if you drive down the alleyway back there, you can still see these dumpsters that are painted as beautiful murals all the way wrapped around. And it kind of looks like the business corridors of Bismarck, which hopefully we'll eventually get to, just because I think that's another way that we can celebrate those artists.
One of the things that when I was in college, we didn't really have the internet. We did, but it was not that popular. I mean, I think me and six other people from my class of Fargo North had an email account, and that was it. Like, no one else really did, you know, and one of them worked for the UN, so she was way ahead of the time, but artists had a really difficult go because not even a lot of the bars were even hiring musicians. So it was not uncommon for somebody to like play with a bucket in front of them as way to get money. So there wasn't a very burgeoning art scene, I guess. With what you are doing and a lot of the other young professionals with the alley fairs or the art fests and the resurgence of the farmers markets and these types of things, coffee shops and spaces in downtown trying to resurge the art scene. How much has the internet helped you guys? Because we didn't have that back then, but now with Etsy and some of these other, the individual artists have platforms like they've never had before.
It does good and bad things, obviously. Right. Because then what it does is it kind of, like, devalues art. It makes it so people go, oh, why should I buy some art here when I could literally go home and print it off and find these huge-name artists and find their things just on Google Images. So it devalues art in that, but I think it also does, it changes the way that we appreciate art here in the physical sense.
To listen to the full-length interview with Blue Weber, co-founder of ArtNest ND, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Content Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Content Network. Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Content Network. Thank you, folks, for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation. Up next, Wayne Christian, Texas Railroad Commissioner.
And what's the second part that's scary, not only the lack of employment in our current industry, but also it's tremendous opportunity for the young people and frankly all people in the state of Texas, because number three, we're about to experience not just the maintenance of the industry that's at risk, but we're about to experience the largest boom literally in the history of Texas in the oil and gas industry. We've got the largest find of oil and gas in the history of the world in Midland, Texas. It's phenomenal. Billions of dollars worth of oil and gas have been discovered there less than a year ago. And these opportunities, we have two refineries being built. We have a plastics plant being built down in Corpus Christi. We have the largest number of pipelines in history. Our ports are turning to mega ports. We have three LNG facilities being built along the coast. All that's under construction as we speak, and yet we don't have the employees even to maintain the industry.
70% of the drilling is projected to come out of the Permian Basin over the next 20 years, just to validate some of the things that you're talking about. And by the way, that's just under current technology. As technology increases, that is going to change the scale once again, which actually is going to ramp it up more than anything, because it'll allow them to extract at a lower price, be more efficient, et cetera, et cetera. You mentioned the jobs. That is another thing we've been tracking with our program here, the Crude Life, because these guys ain't slinging chains anymore. This is a different worker, and there's two issues at hand here. One is, as we enter the artificial intelligence age, there's a little bit more of the cube worker, the office worker, than, say, the old slinging chains roughneck guy. But on the flip side of that, and getting back to the original thesis, if you will, the original issue, these jobs have changed to the tune to where some of these guys who are now working in the industry, I'll even get into the Gen X people, because maybe they transferred industry over. They haven't even been on the well site before, and now they're making decisions within the oil and gas industry. Are you seeing that at all, and can you comment about the evolution of the jobs?
Well, of course, the evolution of the jobs is because a lot of the same things that have to be added to go ahead through that hard schedule from this year, for sure. And that's been listening to PMAX and operate because we have this problem with the computer of the tech container while snowing to safety helps it and bring increased production. But the good job opportunity is not only the increased in those particular physical labor jobs and technical skill jobs, the super high tech jobs in petroleum engineering. There's going to be a vast expansion of the need for those with the expansion of the oil and gas industry. So jobs at every level of expertise are going to be in demand. And frankly, the single issue that has dissuaded people from wanting to work in the oil and gas industry is, and this is the best way I can express it, is the false, scientifically non-proven science of the environmental extremists, saying that oil and gas is somehow like tobacco, and it's dirty, and it's limited, which is absolutely, there's nothing perfect on planet Earth, I can tell people. There's pluses and minuses to everything. But I think we've not understood, we've not even stopped and considered the positives and the minuses to oil and gas. Let me give you a couple of facts real quickly. Just real quickly, oil and gas, it takes 64 cents per megawatt of electricity is what the government subsidy is, the taxpayer subsidy to keep the industry working at 64 cents. For wind, it's 700 times that. For solar, it's 1,200 times that. Let's take production. It is a free market equal level playing field between oil, gas, and solar and wind. Well, it takes 40,000 acres of windmills to create 1 megawatt of electricity. For the same amount, it takes 10,000 acres of solar. For the same amount, it takes 12.5 acres of natural gas. And every country that is industrialized on planet Earth is far cleaner and healthier than every non-industrialized country. The most pollution created, let's just take, for example, coal. Coal seems to be the most dirty, heinous thing that's presented in the media and by some of the non-educated in the field, actually. The coal is supposed to be the dirty, you always see the people black coming out of the ground. Do you realize if you choose between coal, wind, and solar, the cleanest to the environment, the less harmful to the environment of their raw material development is coal? Rare earth metals are used for wind and for solar. And rare earth metals are only developed in two countries, South Africa and China. And it's so polluting and harmful to the environment, no other nation on earth will allow it. And these are just some of the facts that people just need to consider when they understand they have dissuaded our young people and all ages from participating in this industry called oil and gas, which has made mankind safer, live longer, and better financially.
I used to joke at the protesters because, you know, for one, we'd laugh because a lot of protesters will drive to an oil and gas protest in their cars, and they will use plastic, and they've got Keurigs in their office and yada yada type thing. But when they got into the iPad generation, you know, you're dealing with silver, you're dealing with lithium, you're dealing with some major mining here. Go look at a lithium mine sometime and see what they look like when they're done. So I kind of chuckle at those things because of those reasons you brought up. A lot of the raw materials that go into the things that we necessarily think are environmentally sound are not so environmentally sound. And then when I look at the whole climate change of things, that discussion is really difficult to have because it's like it's been decided already. And I have yet to see any science on what the weather is going to be like next week. So don't tell me how it's going to be in 1,000 years. You can't even figure out next week.
I use an example myself when I'm talking about the Paris Treaty. If the weatherman can't tell me what's going to be the weather tomorrow for sure, how the heck is he telling me by 2050 we're going to decrease the temperature of planet Earth by 0.5 degree by spending $78 trillion? Some of this stuff is insane that we accept, and the science is just not there against oil and gas to the level that it's been presented. Just take real factually, 1900 Texas. Take Texas in 1900. Average age is about 45. It was the most, many children died before age 9. You have the number two causes of environmental deaths were starvation when the crops didn't come in, it was too dry, and freezing to death during the winter. Move ahead to our day and time. People no longer starve to death. We have an obesity problem. We no longer freeze to death during the winter. We grab because the thermostat is either too hot or too cold. The average age lifespan is now 75 and growing instead of 45. And almost all of that is due to oil, gas, and coal, the development of the Industrial Revolution. There used to be plagues that hit planet Earth back in 1900, killing thousands of people worldwide. We've almost wiped those out by chemicals, prescription drugs that have been developed from petroleum. So, yes, there are positives and minuses, but the pluses are so far ahead for the fossil fuel industry, which I always enjoy people saying, well, it's not natural, it's not green. I'm thinking, what could be more green than a bunch of dinosaurs and plants dead thousands of feet below planet Earth? That's totally natural, totally green, and that's what produces oil, gas, and coal. I think a lot of the workers, a lot of the executives, a lot of the owners and corporate presidents and vice presidents of our oil and gas companies, both little, small, big, major, and minor, need to have integrity, need to have the character to stand up and tell the truth publicly. We need these oil and gas companies to stop putting windmills and solar panels on the front of their television commercials as if there's some answer to the problem. They are defending and fighting against themselves, committing suicide. They are not having integrity because they're not telling their shareholders the truth when they don't tell them the facts that this short-term financing for windmills and solar panels that are majorly funded by government or citizens' tax dollars are detrimental to the long-term returns on their investments. And so they're not telling them the truth because it's unpopular to do so.
To listen to the full-length interview with Wayne Christian, Texas Railroad Commissioner, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Content Network. Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm choking.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
I think it's a really exciting time for our young leaders today because leaders like Eric Hatch are changing the face of what it means to lead an organization or what it means to lead a brand. He's changing that. For many years, I think that the gold standard of leadership has been somebody who is very polished and has it all together or seemingly has it all together. And throughout the years, I think that we've now, especially with technology and social media, we are drawn to what's real.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Content Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Greg Hennessy, co-founder and chairman of the board for North Star Caviar.
This is Greg Hennessy calling you from Williston, and I am the founder and current chairman of North Star Candy are?
The founder? Well, we've got the man who knows pretty much everything about this then. Let's start off by just tell us a little bit about your business. You know, people think of caviar in North Dakota. I can't imagine that's something that is known by almost everybody. I mean, international notoriety?
The short answer, Jason, is yes. We have an international reputation, which has been there since our first production year of 93. And the reason for that is we supply the bulk of our wholesale product as opposed to our retail to the Caribbean cruise lines, and an even larger percentage of our gross goes to Japan.
That's outstanding. How long ago did you start this company up?
We did the heavy lifting to get our one-of-a-kind fishing license from the North Dakota legislature in conjunction with Game and Fish back in 1992 legislative session. And we did a startup and first production season in 93.
Now, you mentioned a specialty license. The first question, the reason I stumbled over myself is I was going to say, I don't think there's a lot of competition in the state for this. And when you said specialty permit, is yours kind of a one-of-a-kind type of a permit, or how does that work?
I didn't catch the last part of it, but so far as the history of that license, the background or the historical footnote is, it was illegal at the time that we applied for legislative permission to harvest paddlefish and make the caviar because some Tennessee bootleggers, if I can use the term, were showing up at the Yellowstone, Missouri confluence in the 80s, and they were buying the gut piles out of the paddlefish at a garbage barrel, they got to a point where they were so eager to get those gut piles that they were giving new pickups away to the fishermen in exchange for the fish gut. Whereupon the wardens figured out that these guys were bootlegging the eggs out of the gut piles and making more than enough money to buy those pickups.
They were bootlegging the paddlefish eggs. That's unbelievable. Interesting. I got to tell you, I was not expecting that. Talk to me a little bit about the marketplace that you have. Of course, a lot of people think of the, I think it's the sturgeon or the Russian sturgeon, beluga caviar. You've got a great account with the cruise line. Talk to me about your particular niche or your particular market share that you've got across the globe.
Well, the sturgeon story and the Russian product that comes out of the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, traditionally, and I'm talking back to pre-Russian Revolution, the Tsar, et cetera, centuries ago, there were four species of sturgeon. The beluga, which has got an egg berry about the size of double-eyed buck, and then there were three other ones, Savruga, Osetra, and Golden. And Golden was not allowed outside of the Russian Tsar's court. That didn't even make it to Paris. But it happens that the Savruga, an eggberry, which is about the size of a BB, and it ranges from dark olive green to gray to black, is an identical size to the North American paddlefish. And in fact, all the blind tastings that we've conducted over time have proven that human taste buds cannot discern the difference between two properly made batches of North American paddlefish and Savruga sturgeon. And the proof of that is that about 15 years ago, some Russian mafia operating on the East Coast had managed to get a hold of a wholesale lot of North Star caviar. They took it offshore, relabeled it as Russian, and brought it back through the the Port of Baltimore, whereupon the Fish and Wildlife Service brought down a 25-count indictment in there in the pen. And the only way that they busted them was through DNA.
So I spent a little bit of time in Montana last year at the Inlet, which is near Sydney, south of Sydney, north of Glendive, and they snag the paddlefish from there as they go back to Lake Sakakawea. Do you guys have any sort of contract or deal or relationship with Montana when it comes to harvesting your eggs?
The short answer is that we've worked hand in hand with them since our startup days. The turnover on the Glendive Chamber Committee has been higher than what the turnover of our personnel has been for the Friends of Fort Union and the Williston Chamber, who are the two venture partners here. And so we've had, more consistent management in our operation, but the fact of the matter is that we share the same resource, because if you look at it from a cattleman's point of view, we've got the nursery and the feedlot in Lake Sakakawea because the dam is on the Missouri Garrison, but the fish naturally need the spring runoff from the mountain snowpack. And it comes down the free-flowing Yellowstone as opposed to the Missouri, which it used to do. Fort Peck screwed that up. But the Yellowstone, being free-flowing, has sufficient CFS during the spring runoff that it triggers the spawning urge in the paddlefish. And so what they do is they come up out of the feedlot, which is Lake Sakakawea, and they make the corner at the Yellowstone-Missouri confluence, which is where we have our caviar plant, and they turn the corner and go up the Yellowstone 100 miles to Glendive, and then the Glendive people get a chance at the harvest. And in addition to that, I should mention that we have funded since year one a joint biological study that's conducted by Professor Dennis Starnecki out of University of Idaho at Moscow. Another Russian connection, you might say. But anyway, Dennis has got 40 years into this paper assuring the viability and the long-term sustainability of that fishery. And we also share a quota system with them. When we first started, it was 1,500 fish each, and for the last 10 or 12 years, it's been 1,000 fish each.
To listen to the full-length interview with Greg Hennessy, co-founder and chairman of the board for North Star Caviar, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
All you need to know.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
You feel a little dizzy. You're talking kind of silly, like you have plans to save the world. Just remember your past will only last if you don't take off your mask. When the outside's chilly, the inside is warm. You've been wishing you never been born. All I can say is that you try to behave and try not to get your mind blown. Mind blown, your mind blown. I'll show you something that's never been shown. Mind blown, your mind blown.
minutes, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota.
You know what? I don't think anyone would disagree that open and free and fair access to the internet is essential for education, it's essential for business development, it's essential for even our health. It is a absolute, clear, essential service that we need to protect North Dakotans and to thrive. Guess what's threatening it? The rollback of net neutrality. It is absolutely wrongheaded. That's why I've signed on with my colleagues in the Senate to try and get this rule reversed. We are working very, very hard to get one more senator. And to tell you that this is something that people care about dramatically in North Dakota, we've had over 5,500 discrete contacts into my office asking us to make sure that the FCC's decision to roll back net neutrality doesn't take effect. Guess how many said they wanted to support the FCC? 10. So this is a clear issue of fairness. It's a fundamental issue of access to an essential service. People say, well, what is it? I want you to think about the internet like the interstate highway. And let's say you're in a traffic jam. And you can't get through and you're frustrated, but then you look over in the lane next to you and all the people who could afford to pay a little bit more, all the people who get preference, they're zipping by you. That's what we're talking about with net neutrality. We want everybody to be treated fairly. We want the freedom to use this essential service, and we want to move our state forward, making sure that we have access to one of the most important infrastructure things for our safety and our security and for our business development, and that's an open internet.
Well, it's time to put the booze down. Find us some solid ground. Clean this damn life up and turn it all around. We got lost in the smoke and drink. We can feel each other starting to sing. It was time to get back to our hearts and stay true.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Content Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we're going to hand the baton off to our multimedia kidpreneur, Otis, as he sits down with Tyler, the organizer for the Dacno Gaming Tournament.
Hello, my name is Otis with Kids and Capitalism at Danko Gaming Esports Day, and today I'm with Tyler, the organizer of this whole thing.
So, great to be here.
Do you work or own a company, Tyler?
Yes, I actually work for a local media company in town. That's kind of my job here as the Dacno Gaming organizer. I'm a multimedia sales consultant with the Grand Forks Herald, so I do a lot of media marketing kind of stuff, getting the word out about things.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
All right, what was your first job, and how old were you when you got it?
My first job was fast food. I worked at a business called the Dakota Drive-In in Hankinson, North Dakota. I actually started when I was 13, but we can't tell anybody that because you're supposed to be 14 to have a job. So, but I was really excited to work.
Right?
Well, no, it's 14.
Really?
Yeah, it's 14. You can get a job when you're 14. So you better get ready.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is your favorite video game?
Final Fantasy VII, for sure. That was
the
game that.
Said.
Yeah, that game was my first introduction. I was at the age where I was just starting to understand more complex storylines, and yeah, I mean, I'm not going to spoil anything for anybody, but when Aerith dies, that was a big moment for me as a kid. That was the first time a video game made me cry. And that was
I haven't played it yet.
Oh, sorry about that, man. Sorry, it's only been out since 1999.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Any advice for young entrepreneurs?
Yes, lots of advice for young entrepreneurs, especially in Grand Forks, North Dakota. There is so much support out there. You don't have to do it alone. We are hosting Dacno Gaming Esports Day at 701 Communication or 701 Co-working Space downtown in Grand Forks. Here, this is a space designed for young entrepreneurs to start their own business without having to worry about going into debt. You can rent this space without buying a brick and mortar store. It's got the gigabit internet speed, all the other things. There's so much grant funding out there from like the Grand Forks Region Economic Development Association. There's the EDC. There's so many great places that are willing to help you pursue your dreams and keep you from going under. So that's something that I would highly, highly recommend. And while I don't own a business, I plan to in the future. And Grand Forks especially is a really good community to do that in. Fosters in that community.
Well, I think that concludes our interview with Tyler. Thanks,
Otis, man. It was great to see you.
Being the interview, bro.
Yeah.
When's your next esports day?
Our next esports day will be, we don't have an exact date yet. We're looking to probably do one every 6 months or so. Like Dacno Gaming on Facebook, and then we'll keep you in the update. Keep you guys all in the loop as to what's going on.
All right, bro. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, man.
To listen to other Kids in Capitalism features and interviews, go to kidsincapitalism.com. That's kidsincapitalism.com. The Crude Life Content Network is a proud supporter of Kids in Capitalism. Once again, thank you, multimedia kidpreneur Otis. And remember, keep calm and capitalism on.
You build a bridge and I'll hammer on the harmony. After a hard week's work, we'll enable.
Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
Because we're back to the way. Oh, oh, oh.
Quick, Jack, when I jump over the candlestick, why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do, put your stuff on the market, you can make a million too.
And that concludes this week's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. For a full list of today's guest and interview, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. We'll be back next week on this radio station at this time. For a full list of our radio affiliates and other media partners, please visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and from the staff here at Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we're asking you to be happy, make money, and give back. Thanks for joining us this week, folks.
Sign on our front porch saying, hot stuff for sale, why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Seems like no matter who I talk to in the world of business these days, people are telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what Jeff Schatz, superintendent of the Fargo Public Schools, has to say about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching.
I just thought that his story about how he talks about the struggles that he and his family went through in having children, and how, you know, everybody has a hot mess, and how do you deal with that in life? And I just thought that really resonates well with, you know, folks. And so I thought that would be a great message for everybody to hear. Well, then beyond that, I've also seen Eric do some of the other things that he does with emceeing and leading other types of things that he does. He does coaching, I know, with students where the principals have hired him to come in and do that. So I just extended that opportunity for him to be the MC too. He was very well received.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.